Hey there, random crowd of people!
Yeah!
Do you like School Sucks Podcast?
Yeah!
Even more than school?
Yeah!
How'd you like to see the show produce more content?
Yeah!
Reach a bigger audience?
Yeah!
How'd you like better production quality?
Yeah!
Even bonus content?
Yeah!
Oh, yeah!
Yeah!
So are you ready to make a modest contribution to see all of these things happen? That's okay, because now it's easier than ever to help out School Sucks Podcast. Oh, I just pooped a little.
I'm sorry, voiceover guy, did you say you just pooped a little?
Yeah, talking in this voice all the time puts a tremendous amount of stress on the human body. It's okay, I can keep going.
Look, I can probably do this myself.
Hi. This is Brett, and I'm glad that you enjoy School Sucks Podcast. If you've been listening for a while, and you find yourself learning and laughing, please consider becoming a monthly subscriber. Go to schoolsucks.podomatic.com to see all of the subscription tiers, or go to the support page on our website to just make a one-time donation. But if you can't afford to make a financial contribution, there's plenty of other ways to help. First, Facebook. Please like our School Sucks Facebook page. And once you do that, when you see School Sucks posts in your newsfeed, click like, or comment, or share them with your friends. It helps spread the word about the show. Second, Podomatic. Podomatic is the site that hosts our podcast feed. Rankings on Podomatic are also important to attract new listeners. When I post new shows, if you click on that link, it will take you to a Podomatic page. From there, you can like the podcast, comment on the podcast, and share it with your friends on just about any social networking site that you can imagine. Third, Twitter. Follow us on Twitter. People seem to like Twitter. And last but certainly not least, YouTube is the best option we have available right now for reaching a wider and younger audience. Please go to YouTube. It is YouTube.com/user/School Sucks Podcast and subscribe to our channel. Watch our videos, like our videos, comment on our videos, share those videos with your friends. If you can do some of these things, great. I would definitely say thank you. If you can do all of these things and I was a cross between Howard Dean, a tiger, and a bomb, I would say something like, so thank you, first of all, for thinking, second of all, for listening, and third, for your support. Please go to schoolsucksproject.com or schoolsucks.podomatic.com to learn more.
Did you ever think you'd find a show like this about liberty and relationships? Stephanie is the host of the show. She's got a lot of ideas that you wanna know. She discusses your questions with thoughts galore. So dial 419-PT-LOVE-4. Part therapy. Join the conversation with Stephanie. That's Pork with a C. If you want meaningful relationships and liberty. Well, now I've told you about the show, but there's another piece of info that you want to know. You can send an email totally free to questions@booktherapy.com.
Book therapy, introspection and zero aggression are the perfect collection of ideas that will set you free.
Booktherapy.com. And welcome to the show. I'm so glad that you've joined me tonight. My name is Stephanie, and you are listening to Pork Therapy. And in case this is the first time that you're tuning in, Pork Therapy is, well, somewhat of a different show, maybe than you're used to. We talk a lot about personal freedom-related issues and basically how you can get more of it in your life, freedom, that is. And you can find out more about me and the show by going to porctherapy.com. Heard every Friday night live on the Liberty Radio Network. So if you're listening on Friday evening, then you're hearing us live. And that means you can call in. And I said us because I am very excited tonight that I have a special guest in the studio with me. And special guest, would you like to say hello?
Sure. My name is Brett Vinat, and I'm the host of School Sucks Podcast.
Cool. That was a great, succinct intro.
And I'm thrilled to be here.
Yeah. I'm glad to have you here, Brett. We're having kind of a combined hangout and show night, and it's really fun. We've got some other people here in the Peanut Gallery as well, having a good time. But tonight, I want to let you all know, I introduce you to Brett if you've never met him before, or I say met, but, you know, it's a very strange relationship with, that you have with someone who you listen to their podcast.
Yeah.
Because you don't know them as the host, but they know you as the listener. So
yes. Internet met, pretty much.
Internet met. Yeah. I like that. Virtually met. So, if you have never internet met Brett, well, then now's your chance. And School Sucks Podcast, in case you haven't listened before, is amazing. It's, I've learned so much from it and just thought about so many different things that I never had a chance to think about, especially when I was, deep within the system of government school without really a choice to be there or a choice about what I wanted to do while I was there. Mm. And so I think that that's something that a lot of people can relate to. And it's very important to spend a little bit of time thinking about those things, you know, especially if you know young people in your life who maybe are experiencing the same thing right now. So School Sucks Podcast is at, what is it, schoolsucksproject.com?
SchoolSucksProject.com, and I also strongly encourage people to go to YouTube/user/SchoolSucksPodcast and check out our videos.
Yes. Brett is having a little foray into the world of video production,
indeed,
which has been going really well, I think.
Yeah, except for views. So, so go check them out.
Yes, and share them with your friends. It's always a good way,
please,
to help out. So, I mean, I'm not just saying that because I'm blowing sunshine up your pant leg. I mean, it's like they're really good videos, and the podcasts too are just packed with like really useful and provocative, thought-provoking, I guess you could say, stuff.
Mm.
So definitely worth a listen. And if you want to talk to us tonight, if you want to talk to Brett or you want to talk to me or even both of us, you can call 419-785-6834. That is the phone line for Pork Therapy. That's 419-785-6834. Or you can call us on Skype at PORC Therapy, all one word. Just add me as a contact and I will put you on the air. So, okay, Brett, I know that we have a bunch of sort of school and education related stories to talk about this evening, but is there anything you want to say as kind of like an intro or a preface to any of this? I wanted to start out with this story that you related to me about the little boy and the Lego scenario a little,
sure,
earlier. But do you think it deserves any kind of a, you know, preface or pre-explanation or any kind of concepts you want to introduce first?
Well, sure. I mean, first of all, I'll offer up a little backstory. I was working as a sort of adjunct instructor at a school in Hooksett, New Hampshire, called the Scholars Academy, mm-hmm, and it was for gifted kids. And when the school closed because of a lack of funding, I was asked to come in and be a sort of guide for a child who was going to be homeschooled, who was 8 at the time, and he's 9 now.
Mm-hmm.
And we, it's been a real sort of unschool environment where it's very, very much directed by this boy. And
what is unschool for just for listeners who might not be familiar?
Well, you know, when
besides
we think,
awesome, what is,
sure,
it
when we
awesome,
think of all the things that school is, that it, and that it kind of strips out of young people the creativity, the optimism, the individuality, even to in some ways the reason, and you know, superimposes this mythology about,
yeah,
authority, and really can to do some pretty serious damage to the way people think and their creative abilities and their individuality. So,
which is ironic because everybody says that school is a place where people go to learn how to think.
Sure.
To learn how to think critically, to develop their creativity, to focus their passions. And none of those things are usually end up being true,
right,
people, in most school environments.
People say a lot of things.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
so, yeah, yeah. And it's kind of, from what I've found, it's a pretty hands-off topic. You know, like some of the things in our culture, in our society, that are in the most desperate need of evaluation, family, religion, the military, are considered to be these sacred cows. And, you know, school is not far behind in that respect.
Kidding.
Like, these are topics that are, for a lot of people, off limits. It's too outrageous that you would even criticize these things. But
yeah,
unschooling is the opposite of all of those negative experiences of institutionalized schooling, in that these wonderful attributes of human beings are retained because throughout our education, which is self-directed, and the whole, you know, the children have teachers inside, which,
yeah,
first and foremost is their curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
and just kind of letting them go where they want and, you know, being a helpful guide and, you know, adding additional information where you can, but not being too top down and not really trying to direct.
Well, exactly. You know, when I think of unschooling and when I'm trying to explain it to people who have never heard of it before, I always say it's what adults do all the time, which is teach themselves about different things.
Sure.
You know, because they want to know, maybe to use that knowledge, maybe just because it's fun, but to learn out of a genuine interest, out of an intrinsic motivation, rather than because you want to earn an A or a gold star, or you don't want to get punished, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or because you have to, quote unquote. Or because, you know, you have to be there. You're made to go.
Right.
Those are the latter things that I mentioned are some of the reasons that I think most people think of as reasons for learning in traditional school. But, you know, unschooling is just the opposite of that, as you said. It's learning because you want to, because you really want to do it.
And adults should be able to identify with that, too, because I think most of the things that we all spent plenty of time in institutionalized schooling and college. And, you know, maybe it's a little different for you because you're in medical school, but the things that you probably
it's
know
not that different.
Well, the things that you know, just in the things that you maybe it's not entirely true that the things you know the most about are entirely self-taught. Like I think most of the things that most people, by the time they become adults, the things that they really enjoy and the things that they're really good at are things that were they taught themselves how to do.
Yes, and the medical school topic is maybe something we'll get into a little bit later on tonight. I think it's fascinating, but I have actually had this idea kicking around in my head before that if I am not able to make it in the extremely conformist and sort of corporate culture world of medicine, that maybe I could start sort of an unschooling-based medical school, or at least some courses that might teach people about their bodies or about just basic things about health and well-being and illness so that they would know. Yeah. So anyway, if you have questions for Brett or if you want to talk to us, 419-785-6834 or Skype Pork Therapy. But so Brett, tell me what happened today with this little boy with the Lego story.
Oh, I've
I think this is a great lead into like the whole conversation tonight.
Yeah, I've actually been mulling this over for a week. This was last week that this happened.
Oh,
and
I think we're going to have to make it a cliffhanger. So stay tuned, audience, and call in if you have questions. 419-PT-LOVE-4 is the number. And we'll hear what happened to Brett when we come back in the next segment. This is Pork Therapy. Stay tuned for more. Would you like to do something that will impact the world in a positive way? Do you have a skill or ability that could help advance human freedom? Introducing the Freedom Engineers. Freedom Engineers are a cadre of builders, coders, designers, funders, and more from around the unfree world who are right now collaborating on the technologies and enterprises that will build the free future. Join a growing network of inspired individuals to get the help you need to complete your radical idea, or jump in and lend a hand with exciting projects already in motion. Go to freedomengineering.org to get connected, sign up for the free newsletter, and check out the Freedom Engineering blog to hear the latest about what's happening behind the scenes. freedomengineering.org. It's time to build freedom. Hello and welcome back to the show. You are listening to Pork Therapy with me, Stephanie, your host.
And I'm Brett.
Yeah, and we're so glad you joined us. Go to porctherapy.com to get more info about the show. And while you're there, add the podcast feed because there is some special bonus material that only comes out over the podcast feed. So if you want to make sure you get it, go over to porctherapy.com and add that. And while you're at it, also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Get the latest news about the show. So, okay, Brett is here with me tonight. I want to make the most of our time. And Brett, you had this story that you were about to tell in the last segment before we ran short on time. And it involves Legos and being told what to do. Sounds kind of kinky, but we'll try it.
By the way, like, adults might have forgotten about Legos. Hours of fun. I've invested maybe 5 hours of time in Legos. And I built some pretty phenomenal structures.
What did you build?
I'm into like the architecture of things that are large. So like I like airports and skyscrapers.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I'm really into is stadiums. Mostly
your Lego stadiums are the only ones that aren't like state funded, huh?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. These are, mostly baseball stadiums because they can, like every football stadium looks pretty much the same.
Sure.
But baseball stadiums can be kind of unique. So I actually built one out of Legos and found all those little flat pieces.
Mm-hmm.
So there, it doesn't even look like Legos. It's totally smooth on the surface. I was very proud of it. I have pictures of it. On my phone, I can show the peanut butter. Peanut gallery.
The peanut butter gallery.
The peanut buttery.
They're melting because they love us so much.
Yeah.
But that's pretty cool that you can make something so sophisticated out of Legos.
Yeah.
Now, I've seen these competitions like for nerdy kids, like basically, not even kids, more like teenagers that just have a lot of engineering interest.
Yeah.
And they'll build things out of Legos that are actually like really useful, like little vehicles and amazing things, like things that can fly and all kinds of cool things.
Right.
Yeah. But yours sounds almost as cool as that.
But I think with a little more practice, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So this kid has more Legos than any person I've ever seen. And the Legos have, like, we all had them and played with them when we were little, but they've advanced. And I mean, it's still basically the same idea, like positive into negative, kind of stick a bunch of them together and make mm-hmm. something. But some of the Lego sets and pieces have become very elaborate, so I encourage adults to check them out. If you have spare time, Legos.
This sounds like a hobby that could easily consume you.
So what happened was last week, and just to preface this by saying that this experience that I have with this unschool student where I'm really just, I don't want to say an observer, but as far as like what a typical teacher does, like my role is that hands on. He likes me being there. We developed a good rapport when I worked with him at this other school.
Mm-hmm.
So he likes me to come there, and we've kind of worked it out with the school that this is his education for now.
Mm.
He told me that he wanted to make like a stop action Lego kind of movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I got very excited about this. I thought this was a great idea.
Almost like the Star Wars kind of parodies with the Lego characters.
Yes, yes.
That's cool.
And we watched a few of those, and some of them are very good.
Oh, yeah.
So I said, well, we could just start doing it, or what I would really recommend is, like, you should write a script. And when I come back in a few days, we'll have a story, and then that way we can, you know, build sets for it, and we can make the characters we need, and we can, you know, make, a little schedule for shooting it, and we mm-hmm. can do it all, and maybe it'll be, like, 10 minutes when everything's said and done.
Sweet.
Which, for you a stop action, yeah.
You can teach him about YouTube.
Yeah.
Also.
Oh, he loves YouTube.
Cool.
He loves YouTube. I have to keep him away from the comments. People really like to throw the F word around
when
in the
you're hiding
for no
behind
reason.
That wall of anonymity on the internet. It's easy to say some pretty crazy things, but
So this 9-year-old has learned a lot of new words from YouTube comments.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, maybe we can talk about kids and so-called bad words in a little while after this.
Sure.
But go ahead with the story.
Yeah, I feel like I keep derailing this, but we're at Lego
movie.
No,
it's okay. We don't really have a clear destination anyway, so. But we'll go somewhere fun.
I came back a couple days later, and I look at this script that it's about 2 pages.
Yep.
And like I said to you before, it was clearly the ramblings of a 9-year-old boy, you know? It's kind of like it doesn't... there's pirates, and there's soldiers, and there's a princess, and there's a treasure called the Treasure of the Devil's Eye. And he's got a pirate
Lego ship.
It's a
cool name.
Yeah.
You can't deny.
Yeah. So at this point, I get very excited. Now, it's totally positive enthusiasm, and it just... My hands-on approach all of a sudden, and his reaction to it, really made me think a lot about just the horrors of forced schooling for kids who can't just speak out, because he's very open with his emotions. Like, if he doesn't like what's going on, I will know about it right away. But you think most kids who are in third or fourth grade, they don't have that kind of option with the teacher just to say, I'm not really into what's happening here at all, and I'm going to do something else.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I mean, when you said that earlier, the first time you told me the story, Brett, off the air, I was just thinking, what would have happened to me if I would have been honest about my experience in school? I probably would have been given Ritalin for starters, you know, because I would be a problem to the teachers. But, you know, all kinds of bad consequences can sort of befall you. And some kids sort of have that capacity to just learn how to go along to get along and sit still for as long as they need to. But sometimes it it can really kind of do a number on you.
Yeah.
And it teaches you from a very early age not to to suppress your feelings, essentially, right? Mm. Like to not show any emotion, especially for boys, I think, too, because this is also a gender role meme,
yeah,
that boys are not supposed to, like, express feelings unless it's anger or some kind of aggressive feeling, right?
Yeah, sure.
So I think kids are really taught to just suppress their feelings. And then later on in life, that just translates to not knowing what your feelings are. And so you lose some of the capacity to empathize with yourself and
yeah,
to be able to say, like, hey, I'm feeling really bored right now. Why don't I change my topic of what I'm doing? Or, you know, hey, I'm feeling kind of sad right now because I didn't get something that I wanted or needed or whatever. You know, you can't do that as easily when you're taught, starting at a really young age, to just ignore the fact that you have any feelings.
Mm. And I think that his, you know, the way he's been nurtured both in the school and by his parents, who are really obviously on board with homeschooling and the idea of unschooling, I benefit a lot from this relationship because I get real-time, honest feedback about what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, and
there's no one more honest than a young kid.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. And like, I teach these SAT classes where I'm looking out at a group of 8 adults, you know, kids who are 16, 17. But as far as I'm concerned, they're pretty much adults, and saying something like, any questions?
Mm-hmm.
And I just
blank
want,
stares.
Sometimes I just want to be like, I know 3 of you have at least 2 questions,
yeah,
you know, but nothing, you know, like they don't even want to speak up and ask questions.
Wow.
So I like getting feedback about it's, you know, it's helpful to me,
mm-hmm,
to get feedback in real time. That's very honest and very genuine from this, this young boy.
Yeah.
So it made me, of course, think about exactly what you're saying. Like how just awful is this experience for most kids? Because all I'm doing is trying to contribute in a positive way. Now I kind of blew it the way I did it and I felt a little bad because suddenly I became like very hands-on,
mm-hmm,
and I was like, okay, the story doesn't really, like he admitted the story didn't make any sense. I was like, who are the soldiers? Why don't they like the pirates? And ooh, another cliffhanger, soldiers and pirates.
We'll find out why the soldiers don't like the pirates in a minute. I think there's some gender roles in that story too, right? The princess and then the soldiers.
Oh yeah,
the
princess,
pirates,
of course.
Yeah, but we'll certainly get more into that. More with Brett when we return. This is Pork Therapy. You can call us at 419-785-6834. But if you call, you're going to have to wait to hear the rest of the story. So stick around.
George's Famous Baklava is not only delicious, all natural, and specially handmade, it's also government-free. With just a few clicks, you can have George's Famous Baklava delivered straight to your door. Each tray is handmade according to a time-tested, authentic Greek recipe. Imagine the taste of fresh walnuts, cinnamon, buckwheat honey, and more than 50 layers of chewy, flaky phyllo dough. This baklava is famous among lovers of freedom for its rich and distinctively sweet taste. Get the mouth-watering dessert that you can't find anywhere else, and do business with a chef who believes in freedom just like you. Head over to mandrik.com, that's mandrik.com, and get your baklava now. Mention that you heard this ad on Pork Therapy and receive a free Pork Therapy-themed gift with your order. One more time, that's mandrik.com. Hello, and welcome back to the show. We thank you so much for joining us tonight on Pork Therapy. My name is Stephanie.
And I'm Brett.
And we are talking about all kinds of fun things tonight, Brett. Brett is from the School Sucks podcast, in case you didn't know, in case you're just joining us, which you can find at schoolsucksproject.com. We're talking about all things education, school, children related, and we actually have a call on the line that I think is very relevant to what we've been discussing so far tonight. I'm going to bring Connie right on because she is a, as she described it, a homeschooling mom with 4 children, and she doesn't know how long she'll be able to hang on the line with us, understandably. So, Connie, are you with us?
I am.
Hi. Nice
Hi,
to hear
Connie.
From you.
I'm excited, a little nervous to be on.
No problem. We like to hear from you, and I'm sure that with Brett on the line that, you know, you guys will have a lot in common, and I'm curious what you have to talk about with us tonight.
Actually, I've listened to all the School Sucks podcasts from the beginning. I found Brett's podcast from Great Liberty, so I've heard them all. But I wanted to talk about unschooling, and more specifically something that you've covered in a previous podcast about women in the Liberty movement.
Sure.
Because as a single mom with four kids, eight and under, my contribution is how I raise my children, and that doesn't leave a whole lot of time for anything else.
And, yeah, understandably. I mean, Connie, just to interrupt you for a quick minute. I mean, I think that so often moms are just like the most unsung heroes, and dads too. I mean, any parent who really spends a lot of time and invests a lot in making sure that their children have a great place to grow up and a great place to learn and grow and just like flourish as people. I mean, that is a huge deal. And I've actually seen estimates before where people kind of try to put a value on like what would be the salary of a full-time parent, and they come up with numbers in like the, you know, $100,000 to $200,000 a year range or something like that. And so you know, anyone who says that stay-at-home parents don't do anything or they're, you know, they're just, I don't know what they say, but it's not true. I mean, it's like it's a huge amount of time.
And I'm actually not a stay-at-home parent. My husband and I have worked out away so he can work a job that he loves, but it pays less than really a living wage. So I am a self-employed person as well, and I work part-time, and I've scheduled my life so I can bring my kids with me to some jobs and other jobs I have a babysitter for, but I'd still rather pay a babysitter than have them go to government school and, you know, have their time wasted, basically, which is my biggest reason for deciding I was going to homeschool them, was that I was just bored throughout school, and I would rather them play all day as small children than learn how to be managed and their time managed for them.
Absolutely. Wow. And I'm sure that's like, that's such a huge gift to your children.
And it's a really, it's a very valuable contribution to the propagation of the ideas of liberty too. I mean, you know, thank you for doing that with your four children as far as like, you know, respecting their autonomy and their volition and their individuality, worth so much more to someone like me than, you know, $1 million to the Ron Paul campaign or,
or I completely agree.
You know, an 800-page book about why the Federal Reserve is bad. These are the things
I
like.
I plan on reading those when I'm like 50. You know?
sure, exactly. But those things, just pale in comparison to what you're doing, raising your children that way, because, you know, they're getting used to the idea of liberty when they're young. Well, over 90%, over 95% of children in this country are getting used to a socialist police state when they're that age, you know,
which is getting worse and worse, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's basically the school environment. So thank you, Connie, for what you do.
I completely agree. And it's hard, but so worth it to completely give up the authority paradigm. My mom just came for a visit. She stayed with us for a month. And I calmly explained to her why my children are not going to understand the argument, you need to obey me. And it ended up being a much
How did that go over?
It actually worked much, much better. You know, I've listened to the Complete Liberty shows about nonviolent communication, and I'm catching up on support therapy, and so I'm really trying to eliminate a lot of the authority and, you know, have-tos and you should type of thing. I mean, it's been gradually since 2008 that I've been doing this, but, you know, I really like the idea of all of our lives being voluntary. And here comes the four-year-old.
Wow, Connie, this is just so cool to hear about, and I want to thank you so much for letting us know about this. And by the way, Complete Liberty, which Connie mentioned, is a podcast by our friend Wes Bertrand. Mm-hmm. He is a good friend of both Brett and I, and he's amazing and has a great podcast, which you can learn a lot from at CompleteLiberty.com. But You know, Connie, I wonder if I know you're probably so busy, like between your work and your kids and everything. But I wonder if you've had a chance to network at all with some of the other parents who are doing some similar things with, like, radical homeschooling, unschooling, using nonviolent communication in parenting, and learning about complete liberty and all kinds of that that type of stuff.
I live in a small town, and through things like the Litchi League, where you find a lot of like-minded, more attached parents, I've actually built a small community for me here. They're not they're not on the same level as far as liberty goes, but I try to look for more similarities locally now, because I can find people that have the same beliefs with me online, but I don't really feel like I nurture my soul or spread the message of how to be respectful to children. So in my town, I've have like Facebook groups of gentle parenting and baby wearing to keep our babies close to us. And so that's kind of my liberty outreach, is just to help parents who've always been told as children what to do, and now they're the parents, and they, you know, maybe something isn't just sitting right. So they're seeking out other moms to kind of help them through their journey. And I'm trying to be the voice there saying, well, you know, think of it from the child's point of view, and think of it as a relationship. What kind of relationship do you want to have with your kids when they're grown up? Do you want them to contact you only because they have to, or do you want them to really be your friend and to love you and to want to spend time with you?
Absolutely.
And a lot of people don't want to ask themselves those questions either, because it forces them to look at their own childhood.
Yes.
And say, wow, you know, some of the things that were done to me were not all right. And I think it's a way of making it normal if they just repeat the same treatment they experienced. Even if this is totally unconscious, I'm not a parent, so I don't know for sure. But just repeating the same things that happened to them, so they never have to come to terms with it, or look at the hard facts of what was done to them when they were younger being not okay, not good treatment.
They almost seem like they're waiting for their turn to be the bully.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
Their chance. And the things that I see, and I didn't start out as a kind of parent. You know, my 8-year-old have probably the worst parenting for the first few years, you know, the most of the conventional type of parenting. But so when I see that now, it's even harder on me, because it brings up a lot of my own personal emotion about how I was when he was younger. And so, but, you know, people posting pictures of their under 2-year-olds in the corner on Facebook, they're just so hard for me to even see, because I know that they don't mean to hurt their child, but they really just don't know any other way. And so, as gently as possible, when I have the time, I'd like to point out, and it's with non-confrontational, with empathy to people, how it might feel to their child, you know, how scary it might be.
Absolutely. Connie, we're short on time right now, but if you have more, I can hold you over, but I know you probably got to get busy, get going with your kids too.
I'll try to use the commercial break to get them.
All right, hang on the line, Connie. We'll be back with more coming up. This is Pork Therapy. Stay tuned, and there's more when we get back.
People are weak. They're afraid. They want protection.
The most basic of freedoms are at stake after a severe economic collapse in 2019.
They take our money, our homes, our freedom. We have to do something.
A power grab by the Federal Reserve is the largest central banking takeover that history has ever seen, leaving citizens with a dark financial future. But a heroic group of rebels plans to stop them. Coming to theaters and DVD in 2012 is a story about freedom versus enslavement and how a group of rebels plan to break the economic chains that bind them in the animated thriller romance Silver Circle. Visit SilverCircleMovie.com today to find out all the ways you can connect, like our active Facebook page, the monthly newsletter, and the Silver Underground blog. Join the rebel community by visiting SilverCircleMovie.com today.
Join us. Support us. We, the people, are the last line of defense in saving our freedom.
and welcome back to the show. You are listening to Pork Therapy, heard live every Friday evening from 10 p.m. to midnight over on the Liberty Radio Network at lrn.fm. And you can also, of course, get podcast archives of the show at porctherapy.com if you missed a minute, or if you just want to hear some of the extra stuff that goes into the podcast that doesn't go in the live show. It's all there for you over at porktherapy.com. And by the way, if you like the show, I always appreciate it when people share it with their friends. And actually, if you are going to the Free State Project's Liberty Forum, which is coming up, Brett, in like 6 weeks or something like that.
Yes.
One of my other projects, Free Aid, which is a mutual aid organization that I volunteer with, is actually going to be a sponsor of the Liberty Forum, and I'm really excited about that. I'm going to be there doing some volunteer first aid and teaching people about how to use a defibrillator and CPR. Mm-hmm. And I just think it'll be a great time, not just for Free Aid, but a lot of other things. There's going to be talks going on there. For me, like, my favorite part is really just the socializing. I don't know about you, but I just go to those things like Pork Fest and Liberty Forum to see people that I don't often get a chance to see and to talk with them.
I like to perform.
Yeah. There you have it,
I think,
folks.
We had a great time at Pork Fest doing a live show there last year, and I've only been to the Liberty Forum once, and I was a speaker there this time. So this is actually the first time I've been to one of these events where I won't have to do anything except just socialize. So I look forward to that, and I think that'll be great.
Well, that sounds great, and if you have been holding off on getting your tickets, you can always register now at freestateproject.org/Liberty Forum, and you can use the code FR33AID, that's AID, FR33AID 2012, to get 10% off your ticket. And you can also, you can help them know that Free Aid referred you also. So we get a little bit of extra, I don't know, brownie points, gold stars, all those extrinsic motivations.
Oh, yeah.
That we love so much.
Punish me with rewards.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, so we've got Connie on the line with us. I think she's still with us. Anyway, Connie, are you still here?
I am.
Wonderful. Well, thanks for holding over. And, you know, we were talking in the last segment about it, sort of your job, your work as a homeschooling mom who has some pretty radical new ideas about parenting. And it's sad that these are considered radical, like actually treating children with respect, you know, and really like acknowledging their preferences about what they want to learn and what they'd like to do and, you know, treating them really like little people, which I think all children should be treated that way, but they're often not. And we're talking about how this relates to kind of the liberty movement and how this really is, as Brett said, like a giant contribution, a giant thing that will leave the world a better place. I mean, like, that's how I think of it anyway.
That's my hope.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, tell us more about what you do with their schooling and stuff, because I bet Brett's interested in hearing that.
Sure, yeah.
So the school is all child-led or life learning. It's, you know, like right now my 8-year-old is playing with Legos. He's very interested in airplanes. So
is he playing with the Legos because he heard us talking about the Legos in the first couple segments?
I'm waiting for the pirates and army men to find out what happened. My son would probably be right in that story with him. And that brings up the one drawback of the unschooling is that the kids don't really have that much time to play with other children because all the other children are in school. Or homeschool kids, which there are a lot of in the area, are following a curriculum and don't have time to just come play. So,
you know what that reminds me of, Connie? The fact that a lot of people will say things about children who are homeschooled, like, well, they're not socialized in the government schools, and so therefore homeschooling is bad. Well, if bullying and, you know, being told what to do and being really bossed around from every different angle are being socialized, then I don't think I would want to be socialized or want my children to be either.
Mm. Yeah, it is.
No. And I didn't have a bad school experience. I wasn't bullied. I graduated with good marks. I went out into the world and I realized I was uneducated. You know, I was towards the top of my class, and I was angry that I'd wasted so much of my time in a place that didn't educate me and pretended to, and that I had to find out the hard way how little I'd actually learned that was useful to me
Yeah, understandably.
So that's my main reason. And before I'd even heard of unschooling, I actually was fortunate enough to pick up a book by John Holt from the library when my son was a baby, because I knew I would never send him.
John Galt? It sounded like you said John Galt, but I don't think that's what you said.
No, it's John Holt.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
And which one of his books was it?
I think it was How Children Fail. It may have been How Children Learn. It was one of those two. And I read, I was just riveted. It was just amazing shift. So I saw the possibility for it, but as you're going through the preschool years, unfortunately, I fell into a lot of the ego, you know, you want to have well-behaved children so that other, and there's air quotes around that, I know you can't see those, so that other people think that you're doing a good job. And once you let go of that and realize that your relationship with your children is more important than strangers' opinions of you, the temper tantrums a need not being met at the grocery store suddenly isn't a life or death thing for you. You don't have to get emotionally involved in your child's upsetness. You can just help them through it. And amazingly, a lot of the upsetness goes away when there's somebody there that actually cares and wants to listen and not just tell them to stop, cut it out. You're embarrassing me.
Yes.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I'm so much happier as a parent now. I just want everyone to know about this. I mean, everyone to start thinking about their relationships and not just about what other people might think of them.
So wow. Yeah. That's a powerful endorsement if I've ever heard one of this kind of peaceful parenting methods and using nonviolent communication with kids and also just being aware of some of the things that go on at institutionalized sort of government schools.
Sure. And I think it's so many adults, whether we're talking about, you know, your own children or in my situation, I was just a teacher. This is how adults want to interact with young people, I feel, you know, like so often. Well, maybe I can only speak for myself, but like these were the kind of interactions that I wanted to have when I was teaching in a school. But really, the institution itself puts so many limitations on the kinds of relationships that you can have and the things that you can do and the ways that you can even communicate. Like, I think I could have helped so many more students if I just could have been honest with them about my own experience. But that was considered like a boundary issue that makes it sound so creepy. Like, just by talking, like, you know, I have problems too, or I've been through that, or let me tell you about my experience. None of that could even be said. I had to act like I was just above all that, which obviously was very transparent to you know, a high school student. Like, I'm some perfect person.
I think any age is transparent.
Of course.
My oldest is 8, so I'm not that far into the parenting journey, but boy, you can't really lie to any kid at any age. They can see right through you. They're so much more in tune with their emotions, probably because we haven't suppressed them.
And that was what was really frustrating for me is because, you know, a lot of the kids that I worked with, they would call me out on this stuff all the time. Like, Brett, you're full of it. Like, and I couldn't, I had to keep up this facade because at the time, you know, even though I felt like I was pushing all kinds of limits in all kinds of important ways, like as far as the you know, the curriculum for the classes I was teaching, still it was, as far as my interactions with them, I was bound by these rules that really hurt that relationship and made it not nearly as productive as it could have been.
Connie?
In complete agreement. I'm sorry. I was just handed a beautiful necklace by my 6-year-old to wear because she's wearing her beautiful
necklace. That's very nice. That's great, Connie. Well, you know, we're coming up on the end of hour one anyway, but I want to thank you so much for calling in tonight. It's been really interesting to me to hear your experiences, and I feel very hopeful now because there are people out there like you who are doing these things with their children and are embracing these sort of like radically different strategies and ways of thinking about children. So I want to thank you for that, and I hope I get a chance to meet you at some point.
Yeah, we'd love to at some point come to New Hampshire and check it out. It's not in the cards right now, but hopefully in the future. thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Thanks.
Thank you, Connie.
Thanks so much, Connie. And we'll talk to you soon. All right. Well, that was really cool.
Yeah. As they say in the call-in world of call-in talk radio, thank you for your service.
That's someone I think we can really apply that phrase to for sure.
Absolutely.
All right, this is Pork Therapy. We've got more coming up when we return. I want to hear the rest of Brett's Pirates and Legos Princesses story with the, what was it, the Eye of the Pirate?
The Devil's Eye Treasure. When we get back, the plot thickens.
That's right. This is Pork Therapy. Stay tuned.
Did you ever think you'd find a show like this about liberty and relationships? Stephanie is the host of a show. She's got a lot of ideas that you wanna know. She discusses your questions with thoughts galore. So dial 419-PT-LOVE-4. Pork Therapy. Join the conversation with Stephanie. That's Pork with a C. If you want meaningful relationships and liberty. Well, now I've told you about the show, but there's another piece of info that you want to know. You can send an email totally free to questions@booktherapy.com. Book therapy, introspection and zero aggression are the perfect collection of ideas that will set you free. Booktherapy.com.
Hello, and welcome back to Pork Therapy. I'm so glad you've joined us tonight. Despite the peanut butter going on in the peanut gallery,
yeah.
some interesting things happening in the Pork Therapy studio, but despite that, we'll try to keep a straight face and prevail. And I'm, of course, your host, Stephanie.
And I'm Brett.
Brett from School Sucks joining me tonight, which is great. And, you know, Brett, we've been on this cliffhanger almost the whole show.
Sure.
You were telling this story about a plot that involved something about pirates, devil's eyes, YouTube, and
yeah.
Legos.
Yeah.
And I'd like to continue with that.
Sure. So I looked over the script.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, no script is gold on its first draft. But
sure.
I started asking some questions about... What's going on here? You know, like, who's the princess? Like, the story started out basically, the princess is kidnapped by the pirates, who are also rescuing their captain, who's being held captive by the soldiers. And I'm, okay. you know, I'm kind of probing a little bit for a backstory here. Like, what is, why is the soldiers have this conflict with the pirate? Who is the princess? And I kind of see this in a superficial way as, you know, maybe an opportunity to teach a little bit about storytelling, but it mm-hmm. completely backfires because I'm being too overbearing. And then I say, wait a minute, I've got it. Okay. So, and I'm totally like superimposing my own beliefs onto the story now, just all of a sudden, like without even thinking about it. I'm like, the pirates and the soldiers are enemies. The soldiers are British. And they're the enemies of the pirates because they're competitors because they do the same thing. They both go places and invade and try and take other people's stuff.
Uh-huh.
And they want the treasure of the devil's eye because mm-hmm. they believe it has magical powers. I think we talked about the magical staff
yes.
that they want to wield to use the magic to do harmful things to their enemies.
Mm-hmm.
But the princess vanquishes both sides, right? So it's not even clear who the... And I'm saying it's not even clear who the protagonist is at this point in the story. To the, like,
this
I'm
is very advanced.
This to, yeah, yeah. And he's just... He, you can see that he's like... pretty perplexed and kind of irritated with me. And after I do this, with all these hand gestures, and I'm walking around and saying, and then this happens, and this happens, he says, I don't want to do this anymore.
Oh.
Yeah. So, you know, what I realized was maybe it wasn't about the whole process of making the movie,
mm-hmm.
you know? Maybe it would be a success if we just built the sets.
Mm.
Maybe that's what he wanted to do. Maybe he just wanted to write an intro.
Mm.
Maybe he just wanted to build a pirate ship out of Legos.
Mm.
You know, maybe he just wanted to play around with his little flip camera and do. I did like a stop action of a Lego character walking across the table, and he loved it.
That's awesome.
So maybe like if it's not you know a blockbuster, and you know I don't get control over the merchandising, it's not a failure, you know? Like, it's still, like, a good experience for him, even if only in pieces. And I couldn't, you know, stop and see. It's just me and him. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't see, just from my position, how maybe it was just little aspects of it that were important to him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I immediately made it about what I thought it should be. And not in an overbearing way. Like, just like I was just, I know I think I said the word overbearing, but I was just trying to, like, be helpful. Maybe fill mm-hmm. in some of the gaps and make it more of a collaborative thing. But it didn't work because of the way I did it, because I didn't recognize what was important to him at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And this makes me think, imagine a class of 30 of these 9-year-olds who have absolutely no say in anything at any period during any day of the week ever, ever. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
And maybe the first time that happens, they would speak up about how they felt about it, right?
Mm, sure. The first time, yeah. And then what happens?
And then they get punished for speaking up.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. While you were telling this story, I could really relate to it because I remember this happening to me a bunch of times during government school around the same time, like maybe 7, 8, 9 years old, that kind of age. I would get these ideas, and I thought, of course, as an 8-year-old or whatever, I thought that they were great ideas. And yeah. I was really excited about them and doing them. And then, you know, I'd turn in the idea to the teacher or I'd tell an adult about it. And the adult would be like, no, no, you want to do it this way. And then I'd just be like, oh, I don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah,
It was exactly the same thing that you described.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I think we can. How do you think you could have gone about it differently that would have maybe encouraged his interests, his specific interests?
Well, I do. I hope this comes out the right way, but I do like to, because he is pretty much spending a lot of time by himself.
Mm-hmm.
When this does happen to students, and then there are they're placed in social situations where they don't have a lot of control, sometimes mm-hmm. it can be very difficult for them emotionally,
mm-hmm.
right? This doesn't mean that the alternative to that is putting them into 35 hours a week of negative social situations.
Yeah.
But part of unschooling is obviously, because it's very child-centered and child-directed, they have pretty much total control over that environment, and sometimes they feel a little uneasy when they're put into situations where they don't know something or they have less control.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it's important to, I don't want to say, like, apply a little bit of pressure, but that's kind of what it is, like, just to give a little push now and then to maybe create some discomfort, you know, not in any kind of malevolent way, but just to provide a challenge. And I straight up say that's what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I say I want to challenge you and I want to ask tough questions. And I think that can be a good learning experience.
Sure.
Like, it's not any kind of sneaky thing. Like, I come right out and say, this is what I'm doing. And as a 9-year-old, he understands that.
But do you tell him that you're going to steal the plot of his movie and use it for Wheels Off Liberty?
Am I?
Well, if you weren't before, you could now.
Yeah, sure.
Right. So
he told me he gets all his ideas about pirates from an author named Taryn Lupo.
Wow. Well, that is quite a coincidence. He's already started down the Liberty path, I guess, reading some very important literature. But, but you know, Brett, it was so spot on what you said about, you know, what happens when there are kids that are thrust into these situations where they're literally being told what to do all day, being given marching orders all
sure.
day.
Yeah.
And, you know, as time goes on, like, you and I are probably around the same age, and you went to a government school, right?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, so did I. And so we probably had some similar experiences there as far as being told what to do and having to kind of submit to all kinds of jumping through hoops and whatever, doing whatever teachers and adults told us to. But the kids today, I sound like an old lady when I say kids today, but it really has become a lot different. I mean, schools are becoming a lot more militarized. There are often cops walking up and down the hallways in these schools. They have metal detectors in some cases and a lot more, like, enhanced security and stuff like that. They're kind of being prepared for these homeland security drills where they're told that there is, like, a shooter in the school or a terrorist attack.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's not really true and they scares the crap out of them. And all these things that are just making schools an even more terrifying environment to be
a part of are happening nowadays that may not have happened to us when we were younger.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I guess what I'm saying is just that, I mean, please think about this. If you've never thought about these things before, it is just so obvious that these schools are just environments that are preparing people to accept orders from authority figures unquestioningly.
Right.
And to not really think about them much, to just kind of do as they're told. And if you stop to think about that for a minute, it'll kind of blow your mind, you know?
Yeah.
And you'll want to get out.
And what wouldn't seem like freedom after that?
Yeah, right, exactly. So this is Pork Therapy. We're coming back with more. I think we're going to talk about what happens to doctors who think about outside of the box.
If you want to move to the free state and you're looking for some real estate, well, I know a guy who's really great. It's the Porcupine Realtor. Do you want a home with 20 acres, a lakeside cabin, any takers for renters, buyers, and sellers too? Mark Warden is the guy for you. PorcupineRealtor.com.
Hello and welcome back to the show. You are listening to Pork Therapy. I'm your host, Stephanie.
And I'm Brett.
And, you know, we were just talking during the break about all of the cool stuff that's on the Pork Therapy website, which you can find at porctherapy.com. If you go to the extras tab and you click on karaoke, this is something that I don't promote too often on the show, but I would love it. You have the opportunity there to make your own karaoke version of the Pork Therapy theme song. And there's one up there. It's quite terrible. I encourage you to listen to it because it's really funny at the same time, but I would love to get more. And if you send me a good one and I like it, I will put it on the podcast somewhere, or I'll put it in a bonus show, or it'll show up somewhere on the feed content.
Love the original.
Yes.
Of course.
Hannah Hoffman.
Hannah, very, very talented.
Yes.
I've used her music on my show before in the past.
Oh, cool.
But that karaoke version, I'll tell you, outstanding. I encourage everyone to go check it out.
So do I over at porktherapy.com. And, you know, I do want to let the audience know, by the way, the person who sings the karaoke version, the parody version that's mm-hmm. up there right now, is actually Mandrick from George's Famous Baklava.
Yes.
And he has a website where he sells baklava on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that, Brett?
I have heard about this, yeah.
Well, it's mandrick.com, and you can go there at mandrick.com. And he just recently got a whole setup where he can accept bitcoins in exchange for his baklava. So if you've ever wanted to buy some agorist government-free treats on the internet, you are in luck. Go to mandrick.com. That's mandrick.com. And check out what he has for sale, what he's offering. I heard a rumor that in this year, George's Famous Baklava is going to be expanding to low-carb treats. So I think that'll serve the needs of people like us pretty well, Brett.
Yeah, absolutely. And everything that he's ever made that I've eaten has been delicious.
Yes.
Absolutely delicious. I know I used to host another show where we joked about how bad it all was, but that's not true. It is really, really good. Funny story about that, too, just real quick, if I may.
Absolutely.
We had to talk about George, George Mandrick in every episode of Wheels Off Liberty. So mm-hmm. months
Why
later.
Why did you have to?
That's what I'm thinking, because he's a sponsor of the show. Months later, I find out that he's not even paying them. And this is just some kind of obsession that the host, Jamie Crane, has with Mandrick.
Wow.
So doing free advertising, just lusting after him and doing free advertising. Very interesting.
Wow.
Kind of creepy.
That is very interesting.
Yeah.
And now you know a little bit more about the inner workings of Wheels Off Liberty, which was, it's kind of a defunct podcast, isn't it, right now?
Yes.
Yes. But it was wonderful. We all loved it, and we hope it will come back at some time, some point, in some form or another.
Yes.
That is all we will say about that. So, anyway, Brett, you know, we've been kind of joking around, and it's always fun to see you and to be able to make these times kind of fun, especially with the peanut gallery over here in this Pork Therapy studio. But, you know, I wanted to talk about something very serious that's been all over the news lately.
Yeah.
And that's the whole news story about U.S. soldiers. What branch of the military were they in again?
I believe this was Army, if not Marines.
Okay. Who were basically desecrating corpses of Afghanistani people that they had killed, and they were peeing on them, urinating on them. Right?
For 100% accuracy, they were Taliban fighters.
Okay. But
I don't think that obviously that allows the apologists to say, you know, these are terrorists, because they just do this equivocation where anybody who is even somewhat sympathetic to the Taliban is a terrorist.
That was kind of what I was wondering, like, at first when I was hearing about this story, was that, you know, were these actual kind of like, how much are these guys bad guys, so-called, you know,
yeah,
the ones that are like really actively trying to hurt U.S. troops and stuff like that? Or are they kind of just going about their lives and have been interrupted by this huge occupying army, basically,
yeah,
stomping into their place?
And it's also a fair question to ask these guys, these men who did this to these bodies, what kind of bad guys are they? Because I guarantee there's some place that all of them would rather be, you know?
Yeah.
And were they naturally evil people who sought out these situations so they could murder people and then, you know, relieve themselves on their bodies?
Mm.
Or is this the result of being forced into that situation? I know we say all-volunteer army, but, you know, I encourage people to look at that a little bit closer.
Actually, yes, I've played many counter-recruitment videos on
yeah.
my show that talk about the real world of what it's like to join the military and some of the circumstances under which people join, you know, not understanding really what's going to happen there and how it sort of disproportionately targets certain people, minorities, poor people, and so forth.
Sure. And I think it's a little bit too common of a meme and a practice within the libertarian movement to automatically just very quickly demonize these people and not maybe even ponder the idea that they might have been, you know, good people with good intentions at one point in their life who have been psychologically destroyed by this experience, and they've been reduced to this monstrous behavior. And there's no excuses for what they did, of course, but like, you know, what kind of.
But think about, I mean, it is a little bit easier to maybe, maybe understand or just get a picture of, if you imagine what happens in their daily lives all the time, the things that they are subjected to. I mean, recently talked on the show about some of the hazing that goes on in the military,
yeah,
and just how the peers treat each other, how they're treated by their superiors, so-called, you know, what they're trained to do, which is kill, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, to a certain extent, people respond to the environment that they're in.
Yeah.
Right. And so if you're surrounded by that kind of stuff all the time, and it's glorified, even like violent behavior is lauded.
At the very least, it's normalized.
Yes, absolutely.
But I think you're right. Glorified too.
Yeah. And so, I mean, of course, what happens to you then?
Yeah.
Right. It's this.
Yeah.
And I read a book a long time ago by a journalist, Chris Hedges, who had covered a lot of wars. It's called War is a Force That Gives Us Meaning. It's actually has a lot of libertarian themes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the title is kind of misleading because, you know, you think, you hear a statement like war is a force that gives us meaning, and you think this very, like, nationalistic kind of pride. You know, you're thinking of people like with their hand over their hearts and the flag and, you know, we love America and all that. But really what he writes about is how war systematically affects people and how much it is just hellish, you know, and why atrocities happen in war. Because there are just so many, it's just a crazy messed up world, you
yeah.
know, where violence is normal and happens all the time and could happen at any time, you know. So it's no wonder that these atrocities always occur, and they always do. I mean, every war, to some extent or another, there are these horrible things that come out of it, unimaginable, unspeakable things.
And, you know, the interesting aspect of this story for me was not that this happened. I mean, there's been plenty of stories, you know, more, I think, in Iraq than in Afghanistan, where the number of someone can certainly call in and correct me if I'm wrong, but the number of civilian casualties was so much higher.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the act that was newsworthy or something that I thought was worth discussing. It was the reaction, the public reaction that I heard today when I learned about this story from talk radio. So
yes, this is really important to talk about. So if you have comments, now that we've teased this story, 419-785-6834 or Skype Fork Therapy. We'll be back with more.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Hi, and welcome back to Pork Therapy. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Brett.
And we're doing a show for you live. If you're listening on Friday evening on the Liberty Radio Network, you can hear me every Friday night, 10 p.m. to midnight, over on LRN.FM. And, of course, all the podcast archives are over at porktherapy.com. Thanks for joining us again. And, you know, Brett, I was just over on the freedomengineering.org blog, and they've got some cool stuff over there. Are you familiar with Freedom Engineering?
Yes, very cool.
Yeah. So basically, if you don't know what that is, Freedom Engineering is essentially a group of creative people who are working together on projects that are helping to make the world freer, basically. I couldn't think of anything better to do if you're a creative type or if you're into engineering. Hey, Brett, maybe you could submit one of your Lego designs to Freedom Engineering. And
I've showed you guys the pictures, and I think you'll have to admit these are pretty impressive
they
structures.
They were out of this world. Yes, I was blown away.
Yes, yes.
Very cool stuff. So, so if you want to get help working on your next project, if you want to just network with other people of like mind who are also into making things, building things, designing things, no matter what your skill or talent, you can find some people to get together with and create over at freedomengineering.org. Join the mailing list, check out the blog, follow them on Twitter and Facebook, and you know, you can, if you join the email list, I think that will be the easiest way to start networking over there. And one more time again, that's freedomengineering.org. So, Brett, in the last segment, we were talking about this recent news story where apparently there was a video that came out of some U.S. Soldiers urinating on the bodies of killed Taliban fighters in Afghanistan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that essentially what happened?
Yeah.
So I got an IM during – we wanted to talk about the reaction to this, right? Because that was what you thought was really newsworthy here.
Yes.
And – yeah, I'm kind of stunned and speechless about this, but I got an IM on Skype during the break that I wanted to read because I thought it was important. The person says, this behavior, the urinating behavior, is the pathologicalization of male hierarchy behavior, as you have mentioned. So I guess taking that gender role of like aggression and hierarchy and dominance to an extreme kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then he says, I met a Gulf War one vet who showed pictures of enemies' fingers taken as trophies. Psychotic level, quote, trophies are taken in every war, and the mental pathology level is the same as tribes who headhunt, ritualistically torture, and do human sacrifice.
Yeah.
War is a type of human sacrifice done for the god of the homeland.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very accurate. And so unfortunate and so heartbreaking when you listen to the reactions of people to something like this, and they are cheering it on like it's a football game.
Yeah. And the first person, like I learned about this from talk radio sometimes. Mm-hmm. Now, before we get into this, I should point out, like I've had a lot of conversations with people within the Liberty Movement about Ron Paul. And, you know, we did a show about this for School Sucks Podcast.
You and I and Mandrick did a show.
Mm-hmm. I strongly encourage people to get very realistic a means to getting very realistic about the obstacles we face mm-hmm. in the what I call the real fantasy world, you know, like what's out there and all of the fantasies that we're up against. Listen to talk radio, conservative or liberal, or an hour of both for 2 hours, mm-hmm. you know, and see what you're up against. And
yeah, that's painful.
and that's where I heard the story about these soldiers. Not even
being rationalized, but being totally like, this is fine. I don't see why this is a big deal. The Taliban cut people's heads off. So basically, the host's position was the U.S. military, they're not quite as bad, or at least they're no worse than the Taliban.
They're just doing what was done to them, right?
Pretty much. So she was actually playing audio tapes of the Al-Qaeda cutting... decapitating an American, or maybe he was a British journalist named, I think his name was Berg, I want to say.
Nicholas Berg. And yeah, that was a huge thing back almost 10 years ago, want to say, mm-hmm. that was used to essentially depict the Taliban as a bunch of animalistic murderers and
sure.
people that we wouldn't mind. We Americans, you know, they love to use that pronoun. We, you actually have a video about this, Brett.
Mm-hmm.
That we Americans would not have a problem killing because they are essentially savages.
And that's always the first step in any war or occupation or invasion is the dehumanization yes. of the enemy in the mind of the public. Because,
absolutely.
You know, if you just said to people, here's the plan, here's the battle plan. A lot of innocent people are going to be slaughtered needlessly. But, oh boy, the people who are really connected to government are, you know, going to make a ton of money, and we people in government are going to get more power. And, you know, if you could just walk a mile in our shoes, you would see why we do it. They can't do that. They have to dehumanize. They know that most people in modern war, I mean, this isn't 150 years ago where you could pull up in a horse and carriage with a picnic lunch and watch a battle from the hillside. I mean,
yeah.
wars today take place in cities. The casualties, 90%, I think, upwards of 90% of the people killed in the Iraq war are civilians.
Yeah.
So that's, war is...
Hundreds of thousands, right?
Yeah. War is mass murder now. It is, you know, there's no argument for it being anything else anymore. And the entire people of a country obviously has to be dehumanized for that to be tolerable. Because for most people, I just don't think outside of this political, you know, cowboys and Indians fantasy world mm. where there's sophisticated and even moral ways to fantasize about aggression against other people, that becomes permissible in this sphere of politics. So
yeah, it really does seem that way, that people are almost using these incidences and supporting them in order to play out their own violent fantasies in some way. You know
it absolutely
what I mean?
Seems that way.
Like, it is okay in society to condone and to talk about and to cheer on from the sidelines this kind of violence that's taking place. I mean, this kind of just utter violence, you know. And it wouldn't be okay in another context, right?
No, absolutely not. And that's the thing.
The context of war, in the backdrop of war, it somehow is okay.
And they know how to play into those emotions, too, because all of the people in, I guess what I was listening to was conservative talk radio,
mm-hmm.
they're saying, and all of the callers also engaged in these rationalizations of, did we already forget about... you know, I talked about Berg was his name.
Yeah.
Daniel Berg. And then there's another one that they brought up. And of course, 9/11. And, you know, the host said, all I can think about when I hear this story.
Did they talk about Abu Ghraib or the collateral murder video or any of the other things that have happened?
What the host said was, all I can picture, you know, I think about these people being outraged about this, all I can picture are those people falling out of the towers on September 11th. So this was a trick when these wars began, too, in Afghanistan and Iraq. And you're seeing video
mm-hmm.
of this horror show.
Yeah.
The news people were instructed to say, put this in the context of September 11th. Keep saying September. When we see all of this gory footage from the streets of Iraq, keep saying in your talking points, September 11th. And sometimes it was explicit as, we want to remind you that what you're seeing is in response to what terrorists did in America on September 11th. So it's you know, using that emotional trigger
yeah.
to get people to feel like everything that they're seeing is justified.
Wow, that is very scary stuff.
Yeah, but the you know, when I taught history, one question that you cannot find answered in any American history textbook. You can learn about Hitler and Mussolini and Stalin and the dates of their rise to power, you know, what they did in 1939, what happened in 1941, all of this minutia. But what you cannot find is an explanation of how the people in that country allowed that to happen. But the truth is they didn't just allow it to happen. They begged for it. And as it came, they cheered for it. And we can pick it up there, I guess.
Absolutely. This is Pork Therapy. More coming up when we return. Quick correction, too. It was Daniel Pearl killed in Pakistan and Berg was killed in Iraq.
Yes.
More coming up. It's time to stop singing, Brett.
Okay.
We're coming back now.
All right.
This is Pork Therapy, and we are back for the last segment of the show. I'm Stephanie.
I'm Brett. I just realized my head was still bobbing a little bit.
I know. It's really tough to stop getting caught up in the beat of Hannah's music.
Yeah, you just want to bob a little.
Yeah, I do it all the time. Luckily, we don't have a webcam here on Pork Therapy, but that may change in the future, depending on if I can get my studio looking a little bit more ready for prime time and, you know, figure out how to work all that technical hoo-ha, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, very important. So, you know, we kind of need a little bit of humor tonight because we've been talking about very dark subjects.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Like this recent, basically the reaction to this news that's come out about what happened with these soldiers urinating on bodies in Afghanistan. And, I mean, when you look back, Brett, you know a lot about history, right?
Sure. Yeah.
When you look back on history, there have been a lot of atrocities that have happened that, you know, maybe even worse than this, like, you know, mass rapes, mass graves, like just terrible torture of people alive, all these awful things. Although none of them were caught on video, you know, and to a certain extent, I think that brings it home a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, when it can't be hidden because the video is all over the internet, almost like the collateral murder video that came out via WikiLeaks.
The helicopter.
Yeah. The helicopter.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, I do have to just interrupt because I wanted to let everybody know about the Porcupine Realtor. You know, we were talking about Hannah's theme music a little bit earlier, and she actually does another theme song for him. If you are thinking about relocating to New Hampshire or within New Hampshire, there is really no one better that you could actually call on to do that. He's gotten very high endorsements from so many people that we know, Brett, you know. And it's Mark Warden is his name. He's been in business for many years here in New Hampshire, and you can find out more about him by going to porcupinerealtor.com. It's also linked on my website if you want to know more about that, and I highly recommend.
I do too. I even if you don't need him to find real estate, once you move here, make friends.
Yes.
He's just the nicest guy.
Yeah, he does a little like welcome wagon thing.
He does, yeah. Yeah, and I believe he's a state rep too, actually.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so porcupinerealtor.com one more time. I kind of interrupted that little train. We started talking about the issue and then I kind of had to go back into this because I wanted to make sure that, you know, I didn't forget to let our audience know about Mark. But, Brett, also before we run out of time, as we want to do at the end of the show tends to happen, I want to thank you for being here with me tonight.
My pleasure.
Yeah. And is there anything else that, you know, besides School Sucks that you want to promote or let people know about?
No, I'll promote School Sucks one more time if we have time for that.
Absolutely.
SchoolSucksProject.com. Please go there and check us out. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Watch our videos. Comment on our videos. Become our friend on Facebook, School Sucks Podcast Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter.
Not only great stuff to say, but very well produced, I have to say.
Oh,
I was listening
to
a little promo for School Sucks today that you were screening, right?
Yes, that people will hear. Well, by the time they hear this, they will have already heard that. So
nice. So, okay, Brett. You know, we only have a little bit of time left. I do want to give out the phone number in case anybody would like to get in touch with us. It's 419-785-6834, or you can Skype us at PORC Therapy, all one word on Skype. Just add me as a contact and I'll make sure you get on. But Real quick, in the remaining time, do you want to talk more about the war issue and that kind of thing, and nationalism tied in with schools?
Sure.
Or do you want to talk about the medical article that we had?
Well, I just want to say in a closing note, you know, these atrocities are never preceded by the leader, a person like Stalin or Hitler, mm-hmm. saying, watch all of the sick stuff we are going to do together once I get into power. You know, it's always attached to some kind of noble goal. And people don't recognize that about Nazi Germany. The guys in the SS, they thought they were fighting for freedom, for Germany.
So, yeah, wow.
You know, it's pretty... We talked about earlier tonight why human beings are such a valuable commodity to own, like livestock, like Stefan Molyneux has talked about in his show and his videos.
Yeah.
You know, not only are human beings, like Steph points out, are they self-policing, not to mention the fact that they live three or four times as long as any other livestock, but you cannot teach a horse to sacrifice itself for your cause. You know, even animals like deer and dogs and cats and snakes will always, you know, try to preserve their own lives, you know, and escape situations where their lives are in jeopardy. That's a natural instinct. But human beings can be trained, you know, through having these mythologies inflicted upon them. Patriotism, nationalism, some kind of religious extremism,
yeah.
to sacrifice their, to do the most unnatural thing, you know, in the natural
the thing
world.
That no other animal does, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Aside from maybe lemmings, but I think there's even some complications with that. I don't think they just all commit mass suicide.
That's just the stereotype.
I think it's kind of an accident.
Yeah.
but only human beings can be convinced to give up the only life that, you know, they'll ever have for some kind of cause which does not benefit them or usually many other people, aside from the people who are in power. It's really something.
Yeah. You know, we were talking off the air a little earlier just about how remarkable it is, how adaptable people are, you know, to their environments mm-hmm. and to what they are taught, especially from a young age, you know. And so if you get them early, you as the state, I guess, or you as some organization of people, maybe it's a religion, maybe it's a state or whatever. But if you get to a person early in life, you know, you can really kind of shape them into someone who can be a very good livestock if you're interested in that sort of thing, right?
Yeah.
Who can be very productive, think that they're mostly free when they're not, right?
Sure.
And who will sacrifice themselves for the collective or for the greater good.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's the other great advantage to human ownership. And I think Stefan points this out, that a chicken might give you, I don't know, 2 or 3 years worth of eggs.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a human being will give you Facebook, you know. And when you just look at how much money can be made in the productive capacity of the human mind versus a chicken's, where the eggs come from, the ovum, I don't know. This is
they come out of the cloaca, but before that, I don't know where they were.
Okay. Maybe I picked ovum because it sounded like oven. No, that's not right at all. It's not the oven. Strike that. Boy, I wish we weren't
live. I will do some research here on the air, Brett. Where do eggs come from? Let me Google that for you. But anyway, you were saying about the chickens, yeah, and the humans.
Yeah.
I mean, it is totally true that it seems like the capacity of human beings to produce, especially if they are like properly motivated, is seemingly limitless. Right.
Yeah.
And that could be such a double-edged sword, right? Because things like technology can set us free. They really do have a capacity to improve people's standard of living, and not only that, but just make things easier that weren't as easy before. And mm-hmm. so people have more free time, and they don't have to do things that they don't want to do in order to get the things that they need, right? Like they don't have to spend all their time farming because they have no other option. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So. Technology does set us free in many different senses, but at the same time, it can also be a double-edged sword because it can be used to control people, to track people, to enslave people in many different ways. So it's always sort of something to bear in mind. I don't think the answer is ever to suppress technology, right?
It's just, no, of course not. No,
just to be aware of it and to develop more technologies that are hopefully even more freedom-promoting.
Yeah,
into things. So, I don't think we'll have time to get into this article, but I'll save it for next week, and I think I'll tease it a little bit here. I have an interesting article about what happens to doctors who think outside the box. Basically, it's about this doctor who started a practice where it was like all internet-based. You know, like his patients would make an appointment with him on the Google Calendar, and he would like make house calls. They would alert him on his phone. They'd pay him via PayPal. He'd follow up on Skype with them on video mm-hmm. chat. And this was like really innovative. You know, he started this maybe 5 years ago or something like that. And guess what happened to him?
I want to say jail, but maybe losses.
Close.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other doctors basically reported him to the like state medical board. Mm-hmm. And then they tried to bring all these charges on him. And when they found out that he didn't do anything wrong, they were like, oh, yeah, my grandkids are teaching me how to text message. That sounds pretty cool. Yeah. So just wanted to mention that real quickly. Like, maybe we'll get more in depth at a later time. But thought you'd have an interesting perspective on that as somebody who is so into the school thing and so into learning about the culture of conformity that we all sort of have to grapple with in life.
That's an obedient profession, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
To be continued another time, Brett, thank you for being here with me tonight.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. This has been Pork Therapy, PORC Therapy.com. I'll be back next week, Friday night. Until then, have a good one.